Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, and we want to continue the message this evening that we began. And I won't spend a lot of time reviewing what we shared this morning. I will just kind of give you very briefly the highlights to kind of get back in the flow of what is taking place in this verse. I will read verse 1. I know that's not really part of our, as far as the text for the message or for the verse to be displayed online, but you that have your Bibles can just look up two verses. But it says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." And so I think about that, and I think about how that we need to give earnest heed to what the Scriptures tell us. We need to give earnest heed to the message that is proclaimed in the Scripture. And of course, we know this evening that really the Bible speaks for itself. We can't add anything, nor do we want to add anything to what the Bible says, because it's the Bible that is the truth. And so we're grateful for that. But let's read verse 3 again this evening. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" And let's pray this evening. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for another opportunity. We do thank you for those that are here. We thank you for those that are viewing. We pray for those that are facing surgeries and procedures this week. We pray for those that are sick, those that have needs. Lord, we pray for the heavy heart this evening. Lord, we know that many might have a heavy heart that we don't know anything about, but you do. We pray for the lost, those that need Christ. But Lord, we just ask that you help us this evening as we spend a little time with you. And we do count it a great honor to spend time with you and your word. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This question, I'll just kind of just a very brief review of this morning. This question speaks of the great provision that God has made for us. And for that we're grateful. But it continues with a great peril that faces each one of us. We're going to share with that, we're going to share that with you here in just a few moments. It also gives you a great problem if we neglect. It's a great problem. God's great provision, we know the provision of salvation, and we know that it's great because of the love that provided it. And we shared a little time this morning about his great love, and I don't think that we could ever exhaust how great he does love us and how much love was shown in the cross. And the provision that he was made, and the provision of salvation. It's great because of the price and the price that was paid. He gave the ultimate price. He paid the price for our sins. It's great because of the great blessing and the great provision. And so God gives provisions in salvation. And I shared with you this morning that we have forgiveness. We have peace. We experience the unlimited grace that he bestows upon us, which Sister Ashley just sang about. It gives us eternal life in the fact that we have a home in heaven. But tonight I want us to consider the great peril, because it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What is the great peril when it comes to this verse, and what is the great peril that faces mankind? And I do say mankind because it is everyone. Everyone that is living and breathing has to make a decision to whether they're going to accept Christ or they're going to reject Christ. And that's a decision that every single person that is living, every single person that has lived, and every single person that will live, will have to make that decision whether they want to receive Christ or reject Christ. Neglecting the salvation that God has given so graciously has provided for every one of us. And He's given us the opportunity of salvation. And of course, in my case, and it's just like many of you, the first time that I heard the gospel, the first time I heard that Jesus died for me, I didn't at that moment receive Him. But yet the Holy Spirit continued to work, put different people in my lives, put different situations happen in my life that on that Friday night I said yes. And many of you have the night or the day that you said yes to Jesus. But neglecting that salvation that God has so graciously provided is a great peril. It's a great peril because salvation is the greatest gift that we will ever be offered. And it's the greatest gift that we will ever receive. We can have a lot of things that mean so much to us in gifts as far as receiving gifts, but there's no greater gift than the salvation that we have. There's no greater gift. And as we consider this question this evening, as we bring this message to a conclusion, as we consider this question, the question is, how can we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect that salvation, that great salvation? You see, if we reject this salvation, and there's a difference, even though in reality there's some similarities, but there is a difference in a sense, there's a difference between rejecting and neglecting, and I'll share that with you. If we reject that salvation, we are making a conscious effort to reject the salvation that has been provided. We are consciously saying no to Jesus. It's almost like someone is rejecting, it's almost like saying, I am refusing what Jesus has provided. I am refusing. In other words, I don't want any part of it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's true. I don't want any part of it. I just don't want it in my life. But if we accept it, then we hear it. And this is pretty simple, but yet it's still complex. We hear it. We believe it. We receive it. We trust it, and therefore we're saved. It's nothing that we have done except for we are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are believing in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that He rose again on the third day. We are believing that. When a gift is offered to us, we're going to be celebrating Christmas here in just a little while. It's kind of hard to believe, really. Seems like just yesterday we were thinking about what 2025 would be like, and now we're bringing this year to a close. But here in just a little while, Christmas, and there'll be gifts that are exchanged and gifts that will be given. And when a gift is given, then you either reject it or you accept it. And so if you tell a person, no, I don't want the gift, no, I don't want any part of it, then you are rejecting that gift. But if you receive it and you take it out of the person's hand, or you take it and you open it and you receive that gift, then you are partaking of it. And that's how salvation is. That when the gift is offered and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, is offered to us, then we have the opportunity to receive it, and we also have the opportunity to reject it. But what about neglect? What is the consideration for neglect? And if we neglect it, and that's what the Bible says, if we neglect so great salvation, and so I want us to consider this. Neglect refers to those people that don't deliberately reject, but yet at the same time, they don't accept. Now, we understand tonight that there's no middle ground. You either receive it or you reject it. But the Bible talks about neglect. What is this neglect? And so it refers to someone that doesn't deliberately reject it, but at the same time they don't accept it. They simply neglect what God has provided. And these are the folks that hear the gospel but do nothing about it. They hear the gospel, but yet they do nothing about it. The gospel doesn't offend them. They're in the presence of the gospel. They hear the gospel. A lot of times there are a lot of down through the years that there's been church members down through the years in churches that a person that would be a part of church for many, many years. And then they finally realize that they're lost and they come to Christ. And so those are the ones that neglect. Those are the ones that neglect. These folks that hear the gospel, but they do nothing about it. They know in their heart they need to do something, but yet they don't do anything. They know in their heart they need to do something, but they do nothing about it. And that is neglecting so great salvation. They've heard the message. They understand the message. But they choose not to do anything about it. Now, I'll tell you tonight, and I think you would agree with that, that this is very dangerous. And this is a very dangerous reality that so many people are a part of. That they hear, and they constantly hear, and they know, but yet they choose to neglect. And in reality, when a person neglects, at the end of the day, they are rejecting. At the end of the day, they are rejecting. Neglecting is what faces the multitudes of people today. And you think about it, and you go out and you talk to individuals, and many, many people know Jesus Christ in a namesake way. They know the name of Jesus. They've heard about Jesus. They understand that he was born in a manger. They understand that he was born of a virgin. They understand that he rose again on the third day. He died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. But yet they neglect to do anything about it. They neglect. Let me give you something that... excuse me. Let me give you something that maybe we can relate to when it comes to neglecting. And I was thinking about this this word neglect. Consider the maintenance on your car. And there are individuals that are really on top of their maintenance of their car. They get it serviced, they get the tires checked, and they have someone check the belts and all those things, and they're very, very good with their maintenance of their cars. But then there's others that know they need to do it, but yet they choose not to. Something else is more important. Something else gets in the way. Something else, it's like, okay, I know I need to do something, but yet something else is more important than servicing their car. And it may run fine for years and years and years, and it may do all right. And we that I say we, the individuals that service their cars, and you're wondering, how in the world is that car still running? How in the world, if they don't do the proper maintenance, if they don't do the proper maintenance on the car, how in the world how is it still running? No problems, no problems, no problems, and then all of a sudden, boom, they start having problems. This happens, and that happens, and then the car begins to break, and then they wonder to themselves, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why did this happen? Why it ran this morning? Why isn't it doing it now? And when in reality, the neglecting, the damage is happening every single day that you choose to do nothing about it. Every single day that you choose to do nothing about it, and you know you need to do something. And so the car finally breaks, and then you take it to a mechanic, or you take it to a shop, and they say the words, the engine's too far gone. The lack of oil changes and the lack of things like that, then it wears out the engine prematurely. And the engine has to be replaced, or you have to sell the car, or whatever the case may be. And it's because of the neglect. Now, when it comes to the salvation, when it comes to the gospel message, then people know what they need to do, they know what they're supposed to do, but they choose to neglect it. They choose to neglect. And so that verse says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? In other words, what can we do if we neglect time and time and time again? What can we do? And in reality, there's no escape. There's no escape because the damage is done by the neglect. And you can't go back. You can't go back to, I wish I would have done something sooner, just like the maintenance on your car. You can't go back to the damage that's already been done. Because you chose not to do it. And there's people out there that know the truth, they understand the truth, but yet they choose not to do it. And there's various reasons. I don't hear about it quite as much as I used to, but I used to hear preachers say in churches when they were talking about salvation, they would say something to the effect of, well, I don't want to get saved right now. I want to do it later because I might be missing out on something. In other words, they want to live like the world, and then at the last moment, they want to come to know Christ. But you see, it doesn't work that way. Because in reality, we never know when we're going to take our last breath. Just like when I got up here just a little while ago, I didn't know that I was going to have a frog in my throat, and he just crossed his legs. I didn't know that. It just happened. So you'll have to bear with me. Maybe I can thump him, right? But we never know. So in reality, the bottom line is, if you neglect, you're rejecting. You're rejecting what needs to be done. You're rejecting. Why did this happen? My car was running fine, but now it's not. Well, think back weeks and months and so on. The lack of service. The lack of maintenance. And think about in our own hearts, those that have neglected salvation. The times they've been in service after service after service after service. And the gospel has been presented. And the opportunities have been real. And the opportunities have been to come forward and accept Christ. And they know what they need to do, but they go out the doors and they'll say, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. When in reality, every time you say no, and every time someone neglects, you're that much closer to eternity without Jesus. Every time that someone neglects, so how can we escape it? That's what the question is asked. How shall we escape? When in reality, there's no escape. There's no escape if you neglect. You see, neglect continues. But one day, it'll be too late. One day, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. And I'll say again this evening that that word neglect, when it comes to salvation, is very dangerous, because you know what you need to do. You see, when someone rejects, then they choose to reject. They choose to say no to Jesus Christ. They choose to say no to salvation. They're making that judgment, saying, no, I don't want any part of salvation. But when it comes to neglect, it's those individuals that know what they need to do, but they choose not to do it. And it's just like the maintenance in your car. What God has provided is far better than what you feel like you're missing out on. You know, what God is providing for us in salvation is far better than what we think that we're afraid of. Some people might be afraid to stand up in front of somebody. Some people might be afraid of what will people think. Some people might be afraid of, well, they already think people already think that I'm saved. Well, you know, if people think that you're saved and in reality you're not and you get saved, I believe they'll be rejoicing. I believe they'll be rejoicing. Because when I read that parable this morning, in that whole parable, there's three different parables in that passage of Scripture. When the shepherd took the lamb or the sheep and put it around his shoulders, there was rejoicing. And I believe that there would be rejoicing. But the danger is saying, not now. The danger is saying, I'll do it later. The danger, you know, when we're talking about death and we're talking about the possibility of taking our last breath one day. But what about if Jesus comes? You know, Jesus could come at any moment. You know, we need to look up, because Jesus could come at any moment. When in reality, if Jesus comes, you don't want to be without Christ. You don't want to be without Christ. So it's dangerous to neglect what God has provided, and anything that is neglected. And think about this, and it could be maintenance on your car, it could be maintenance on your house, it could be whatever it could be, maintenance, anything that is neglected will one day break. It's going to one day. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. But I promise you, based upon the Word of God tonight, that salvation will never break. The salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ will never let you down. And that's how important salvation is. Relationships are the same way. Relationships will break down if it isn't maintained. If it isn't maintained, a healthy relationship is individuals talking and communicating and getting to understand the feelings and understanding one another. But if you neglect that relationship, one day it could break down. It could break down. Salvation is no different. We should never neglect so great a salvation. And then number three this evening is the great problem. What is the great problem? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which is at first begun to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that are heard him, them that heard him. The great problem is if we neglect God's provided salvation, how will we escape the consequences? How will we escape the consequences? That's a problem. That's a problem. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to being saved. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision that is available to each and every person, mankind. Salvation is offered. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what others say. It doesn't matter what others teach. It doesn't matter what thought process or what theology or anything like that. The only way to salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through His shed blood. So how can we escape? How can we escape? How will a person escape his wrath? John chapter 3, verse 36. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Think about it. Think about it. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How can one escape? Three men were standing at the end of a pier, and one lost his footing, and one took a tumble and fell into the water. The two that were standing there, his two friends, threw him a rope and tossed it to him. Said, "Here, take the rope." And the man that had fallen in the water never grabbed hold of the rope. Never took it. He saw it. He saw him throw it in. He saw everything. But he didn't take it. He eventually could no longer hold himself up. And he drowned. He neglected the rope that was tossed to him. That's what people are doing every day. By knowing the gospel, but doing nothing about it. They're trying to hold themselves up. They're trying to do things their own way. They're treading, just like treading water. They're ultimately treading in life. They're treading in life. He neglected the rope that was tossed to him. When I was in high school, a friend of mine, their mother or their grandmother passed away. And I went to the funeral, and this funeral, the religion that they were that they grew up in, the religion that they proclaimed, didn't believe in salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I went to the viewing because I was that person's friend. And they asked us to stay after the viewing. And I believe at the time that's been 40 years, I guess. And after everybody was, after the viewing was over, there was a lot of people that were staying there. And a priest came out and handed people a bunch of papers. And the priest stood beside the casket and started saying words. And the people that were there were supposed to say something back. When the priest said this, the congregation said this. And although I didn't partake of it, I was there and I experienced it. And it was the most cold feeling that I've ever experienced in my life. It was dark. And I'm not talking about dark as in the light, but I'm talking about dark. They were trying to pray that person out of purgatory. And they spent about 30 minutes chanting and doing those things. And when I left that place, and this was during the time that I was away from the Lord. I was saved, but I was away from the Lord. But it was when I left that place, I felt just as empty as an empty glass. But they left encouraged because they thought they had done something. But in reality, if that dear lady, that grandmother, didn't, and I don't know her heart, and we don't know people's hearts, but if that dear lady never accepted Christ as her personal Savior, 40 years later, that individual is in hell right now. It's sad. And it's very awakening. It's very eye-opening. When in reality, and I talked to this individual later on, I talked to this individual and even talked to him about salvation. And the person that I was with even talked to him about salvation. And this was the response. Well, if my grandmother is in hell because she didn't accept Christ, and if my parents go to hell because they don't accept Christ, I don't want to be without them. I want to go with them. The blinded eye of what salvation really is. The blinded eye of the fact that the reality is it's eternal damnation. And people don't understand that today. People are saying, I'll do it later. People are saying, not right now. They are neglecting that great salvation. But based upon what the Word of God says, in death, it's too late. In death, it's too late. I'll read that verse again in John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's exciting. That's something to rejoice about. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So the question that we close with tonight is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? How will you escape if you're a person that neglects God's provision? You see, you're not saying no, or individuals aren't saying no. They're not saying, no, I don't want any part of it. I don't want, but yet they're sitting day after day after day after day, knowing that Jesus died for them, and they're saying the words, I'll do it later. I'll do it one day. I'll do it one day. But in reality, in neglecting, in reality, you're saying no to Jesus. It's a sad day. It's a very sobering time. You know, I think about what heaven means to us. And I think about what heaven means and the fact that when we take our last breath, the Bible says for the saved is to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But you know, I have to pause just a minute and think about the people that I see every day, the people that I'm acquainted to, the people that are either saying no or the people that are neglecting. They know what they need to do, but they choose not to do it. We need to pray for them. We need to pray earnestly. Because you look at the condition of the world, and you look at the division that we have in this world, and we can talk about the divisions, and we can talk about all those things, but in reality, the government's going to do what the government's going to do, but in reality, what we need to pray for is the salvation of people. And when we pray for the salvation of people, and people start getting saved, and there's a revival, then a lot of things are going to take care of themselves, because people's hearts are going to be where they need to be. You see, every single person needs Jesus. Every single person needs Jesus. And if we're living and breathing, and I suppose everyone here tonight is, and everyone viewing is living and breathing, then we have the opportunity to pray. To pray. You, as well as me, have people in our lives that need Jesus. They know the truth. They've heard the truth. But they're neglecting the truth. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's important. It should be top on our list. To pray, to pray, to pray. I told you that story before, and I'll close with it because I think it's bearing repeating. True story that I was told in a revival meeting or in a special service. A man that was praying for his children. He had 7 or 8 children, and he was praying and praying and praying. And someone heard him down at the altar, and he said the words, "Whatever it takes, I want my children saved. Whatever it takes, Lord, do it so my children will come to know you." A week later, he died. And at his funeral, every one of his children accepted Jesus Christ. That's how serious he was about people coming to know Jesus Christ. Very sobering to think about it. But how can we escape? There's no escape. In reality, there's no escape. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for our time together. And we thank you for the great salvation that we shared this morning. We thank you for the provision that you've made through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we rejoice over that. But Lord, you know there's people in our lives that is neglecting. They know the message. They know the truth. But they're choosing. And they're saying, "I'll do it later. I'll do it later." But Lord, in reality, in that neglect, they're saying no. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground, as you know, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have a burden for the lost. Help us, Lord. Help us to pray. Help us to be burdened for our loved ones, our families, our friends, co-workers, acquaintances, neighbors. Help us to understand that hell is real. Father, as we have this time of altar and this invitation, Lord, if you've spoken to hearts, Lord, I pray that they'll come. Maybe they need to pray for someone that's on their mind. Help us, Lord, to not give up, but to keep praying. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.